Hi, welcome to Coffee and Closers. I'm Nikolai Bedor, and I want to personally invite you to join me and one of today's top performing sales stars for a cup of coffee and authentic conversation. And our collective goal is that you will walk away with tangible knowledge that you can apply to your sales efforts today. Are you ready? Grab a cup, fill it up, and let's get into another episode of Coffee and Closers.
All right, welcome to season 3 of Coffee and Closers. Welcome. We promised you guys that if you keep coming, we'll keep putting this together. And for those of you at home, hopefully you can hear that. We're going to keep doing these until people leave, right? My name is Nikolai Bedor, co-founder of Coffee and Closers, and very excited to introduce our guest today. He needs no introduction, which is why I'm going to take a couple minutes and introduce what we have coming up for season 3. So some new changes that we're excited to roll out. Number one is it's been official. So Coffee Closers LLC has been the media company that's owned Coffee and Closers for a while. We are officially, Coffee and Closers is officially absorbing BBG, or Bedor Business Group. So you'll be seeing some new logos, some new newsletters, very familiar style, just a different thing. And with that comes a new team. So we have our Susie back, if you guys remember the BBG days. She was our ops specialist. We also have Jen, who's gonna be taking over some of the creative design, photography, and so on. Gario Harrison, who's going to be taking over sales and marketing ops, and we're gonna launch some few things. So new website, new newsletter, new blog coming out very shortly. Also a new platform called Closers Community. You guys asked for it, so we're going to deliver. We're working with some folks right now to deploy that in probably a couple months. And what that's going to be is it's for members are going to have access to brand new events and get-togethers and so on that we're deploying. Our first one's going to be in March, which will be a theater series of Coffee and Closers, stage and everything. We're going to have Mr. Chris Lindahl as the kickoff guest there. We're going to have Closers Comedy Club, which we're excited to unload, as well as discounted or free trainings, content, and workshops that will be led by some of the local legends here. So look forward to that. Okay, back to our guest. You guys ever heard the song, like the kid's song that goes, "Who stole the cookie from the cookie jar?" Right? Not me. Couldn't be. Well, then who? Well, if that cookie was prolific revenue growth at a bunch of different things in the healthcare tech space, well, that culprit would be right there, Mr. Dave Dickey. He has led revenue growth at some amazing health care companies to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars that have been acquired. One of them, Red Brick Health, which I'm sure you're all aware of, was acquired by Virgin, like Richard Branson Virgin Pulse, all while simultaneously co-founding Treehouse, which is an accelerator for healthcare startups. And at the same time, a decade past now, it runs one of the most amazing sales storytelling training companies in the state called Second Story Selling. Needless to say, we're going to learn a lot from today's guest. Please give a warm Coffee and Closers welcome to Mr. Dave Dickey. You like that?
That is hot. Very hot. I do have an issue with the name.
Okay.
I do have the issue with the name Coffee and Closers. I think we should go with Mickey and Dickey.
My 8-year-old self is crying.
Inside. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I thought we buried Mickey a long time ago.
All right. This is all business. So sorry. So sorry.
Well, okay, so you've had a heck of a run, man, and I think it took 30 seconds to kind of gloss over it. Do you want to first fill in the blanks? Tell us why healthcare, because I think there's a lot of us are curious about that path, and then how sales has kind of been a part of that journey.
Sure, absolutely. I had no experience in my household growing up with sales, none. My dad's a minister, and my mom is a nursery school instructor who later on became a fundraiser. And so business was not a thing that I ever got exposed to. And why I tell you this is, number one, we didn't have any money, none. And the second thing is, we were full of love and full of faith. And you're going to hear more about that in a second. But I had to work. I had to work a lot. So I threw papers, set a paper out. Anybody else have a paper out? Do they still have that thing anymore? I don't even know. I cut grass and worked at McDonald's, and so work was not an. I loved it. I loved the opportunity to actually put in a hard day's work. And it wasn't until college that it came time to start looking for jobs that I decided to do interviews. And the jobs that kept coming up were these ones around sales. And so I would go and I'd do them. And then I decided I probably should learn a little bit more about this. So I got some internships. I interned with a stockbroker. I interned with a commercial real estate sales team. And I kept looking over there at those guys that seemingly were laughing the most, the ones that dressed the nicest. And I was like, I think I want to be one of those things. And so that's what I decided to do, sales. And
oh, good. I thought you said you wanted to go and be a suit, which is impossible because you're a man.
Yeah. So after that, I got a job coming out of college. I got a lot of offers. Some were really cool, like General Electric and Procter & Gamble. But the one that intrigued me the most was selling carpet. Dead serious. I'm like, this thing looks really good. You know why? Company car.
I was wondering.
But I picked selling for Aetna. And Aetna had this program where they would come to college campuses and they would find 30 people from across the country, and you'd end up going to Hartford, and then you'd be sent to a post. And when I walked in, I was so blown away by the talent. I mean, it was incredible. And I was like, oh, baby, we better put some work in here. Because the people that were there were expected to become leaders. And so I ended up doing that job for 10 years. I moved 5 times. It was super fun. I thought I'd be there forever. And then something happened. I was living in a different town than this, Louisville, Kentucky. And we were blessed beyond belief to have a baby girl. And she came out of the womb with her left leg pinned back by her ear. It was quickly diagnosed with a condition called hip dysplasia. And apparently that's very common for firstborn females, but I was a first-time dad. And there were complications with her delivery, but there were also complications with my health insurance company. At the time, 1,400 of the 1,800 doctors in the town that I was living in said, I don't want to play with you anymore. So when I needed my health insurance the most, it wasn't there. And I worked for that company. So it was this aha moment, like, I got to do something else. And a friend of mine, who I worked with in Aetna in Chicago, said, I know your wife's from Edina. Why don't you, at Thanksgiving, come on in, check out this thing we're starting. So I walked in, and there were 6 guys, 4 chairs, one's broken. There's a phone in the middle. And then there's a data jack. This was 1999. No wireless yet. And that was the beginning of the first startup that was incredible. There's a lot of people here that were a part of that. And that became what is now known as the health savings account. It was an account that could roll over and stay with you. That company was called Definity Health. That thing just took off. It took off, but it was also funny because we never thought it was taking off. If you've ever done a startup, you never know. You're never comfortable. And but as you look back at it, it was something that went very well. And many of you probably have that as your health insurance today. It was ridiculous.
That's insane.
I was blessed beyond belief. So did that. Got acquired by United Health Group. Stayed 2 years with that company. Then started the Red Brick thing.
The red brick thing.
Yeah. Yep.
The red brick thing.
With friends, and I stayed 3 years, helped get financing and early customers. That one pivoted, it morphed. Initially, it was about getting employers out of healthcare so that you could buy insurance on your own and take money from your employer, kind of like you do in retirement when you get money from your employer and you invest it into the risk tolerance that you might have, whether that be large cap or fixed income and the like. Anyway, the point of this story is that I left in after three years and then opened Second Story Sales. And that was ridiculously fun. I mean,
can you tell us a little bit about that? Because we're going to cover.
Yeah. So I helped a lot of salespeople. So did a lot of sales events, a lot of sales trainings. Then I also helped a lot of startups, a lot of founders, a lot of people that were looking for money, people that were looking for things that they wanted to actually change the world, and I wanted to help them do it. So what was interesting about that time, and again, that was 09 till just recently interesting, that was just so fun, but it was also really hard. How many of you sell for your supper? Literally, you get no income unless you show up and do something. Give them a round of applause. Yep. And the hard part is the time between. It's all cool when you're working and customers are buying things from you, but the time between is when it gets really hard. And that's what I love about what you got here. I mean, this is all about connections for people, because it can be hard. It can be very hard.
Well, I want to get to the hard part, but I don't want to start there now.
No, I don't want to do that either.
We'll get there.
We'll do that later.
But I do want to talk about your superpower.
Yeah.
Which I just find really compelling. I've got another buddy, mutual friend, Patrick, that are very artful in storytelling. But the way that you do it is celebrated. It's what I think makes you your success story so prolific and so consistent. And I know you're going to have the same success, you know, at your project now. But I'd love to kind of hear more about your superpower and what is storytelling in the art of selling. And
yeah. So when I started Second Story Sales, I looked at the different areas in sales that people would help. And there's a lot of sales effectiveness around pipeline management. There's stuff around qualifying leads. And honestly, for those of you that are in that business, bravo, it bores me. Sorry. Sorry, we got a bunch of salespeople, but what was really exciting for me was this. Game day. When you're in front of someone, what are you going to say? And what are you going to do? So I carved a little niche around that, and that's why I called it Second Story Sales. I love the double meaning of Second Story. Nobody wants their sales to go to the basement, so we're going to go up.
I was wondering what... Okay.
And then... oftentimes, we got to rethink what we're saying to people. And so it was a lot of sales effectiveness around game day, which is also interesting now that we're very digitized. I was laughing with a friend about just the process of getting meetings. It's harder. It's harder in today's world to be effective in front of people. And so that's why you got to maximize every opportunity and every word to ensure that it's aligned with customer needs. I've got a top 10 list if you'd like me to read, that's around some of the mistakes I've seen. Would you like me to read it?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, drum roll please. Yep, do that, yep. This is Dave's top 10. Letterman's not on anymore.
No, but that's funny that you say Letterman because I say Letterman. I'm like, someday, Letterman a sale.
Yeah. All right, do it again. From the home office in WeWork in Uptown Minneapolis, Dave's top 10 sad but true meeting mistakes.
Here we go.
Here we go. Number 10, eating the client's food uninvited. Number 9, by the way, these are all true. Sad but true. I've seen it happen. Number 9, falling asleep in a meeting and then asking, can you repeat the question?
What?
Number 8, subject matter experts not presenting and then leaving the meeting early. Yeah.
That's happened?
These are all things that happen. Number 7, medical directors explaining accounting. Number 6, 5 people answering one question. Number 5, checking your phone during the meeting. Number 4, oh gosh, cutting off the client's question before finishing, verbally or with a hand gesture. Number 3, scratching the boardroom table with your briefcase. Ooh, that was really bad. We didn't get the deal on that one. Number 2, responding after every client sentence with a nervous response like, yes, right, that's awesome, great idea, that's a great question. And then number 1, drum roll please. After they say yes, we'd like to buy, you keep talking.
Nobody guilty? All right, so anyone done any of those things? Yep. All right, so you've identified those things and you've traded against them.
Yeah.
So let's turn that list into a positive. When you are taking these kind of challenges on, let's say it's training, or let's say it's you, and you're at zero, now you're going to take another company to $100 million to get acquired.
Yep.
Let's talk about how you do things and how you teach kind of success against this.
Yeah, I think the hardest part about starting companies and selling is you're so excited about what you have, you got to make sure that that connects to something that they want. And so it's funny, you have this is called Coffee and Closers. And for those that weren't alive when Glenn Ross came out, this is when Alec Baldwin was hot, not funny.
True.
He had this thing that said coffee is for closers. And then he had this other thing that there's these ABCs of selling. And the ABCs of selling are?
Always be closing.
Always be closing. I don't believe it. I think it's all about fit and understanding what the individual that you're trying to sell needs and then connecting your capabilities to that. So I go with always be consultative. All right, we'll work on that one. Anyway, but to your question around the storytelling and how you actually make the connection work, first of all, ask a ton of questions. And don't ask questions that are multiple answered. Did you want to go to Poughkeepsie or did you want to go to Tacoma? Did you want to go to, no. Where do you want to go? And then let the silence just happen, because that's when you're going to get really good information back. And then once you basically understand what their needs are, lead with it. And I've also found that there is now a rhythm and cadence that doesn't allow for conversation. It's the old show up and throw up product. Like basically you come up and you puke stuff. Just like, here we go, we're gonna be so excited, we got all this stuff and we're gonna be able to take care of it.
Always pisses off the janitor.
Yeah.
Never a good first impression. I wouldn't recommend it. Continue.
So anyway, the ability to make this connection to buyers around the issues that they have, and I actually brought another training to get here too. When it comes time to actually talk about what your interests, what you're presenting and what your pitch shall be, this is the greatest training tool that I have found. And I don't know where the camera. Can you zoom in on that sucker?
There's like 7 of them, okay. So just pick one.
Yeah. What do you see here? I've just had coffee. I'd like cake. Good one. What else? What do you see in the back? Anything? Can you see back here? It's cake. Yeah. There's a reason why this image is on the front of the cake box. We're going down the aisle. We're hungry. We want to satisfy that. We want cake. There's a reason why this image is on the back. We don't care that you have to preheat the oven, crack the eggs, and mix it in a bowl until we know, what are you going to deliver for me?
Wow. I love this job. That was incredible, and we could go on and on and on, but we got to be respectful for the cats at home, but we keep it under 30, so.
Right.
Let's pivot, which cake, and we're about to go. One of the missions of this that has been identified a couple of times without, better than we could ever articulate, was when you came last month. I'm assuming you knew you were going to be in the show to check it out. And you said, man, you hugged me and you said, this is incredible. I want to tell you why later when, you know. And you said something prolific, and I want to make sure you said something like, what you love about this is that sales can be lonely. And the thing you said is that we have the most accountability and the least amount of responsibility to control that. I thought that was incredible. And so the pivot, I guess, would be is, can we talk about, you said loneliness. And I want to specifically talk, how many people here are in sales, sell something, whether it's themselves or the company or not? Okay. Yeah, a lot, pretty much. So can you address that? What did you mean by that?
Yeah. Sales has the most accountability, so you sell or you're gone, but the least authority. You can't price what you do. You can't change functionality of what you do in many cases. And so it can be very hard for you to actually get deals done. And as we talked before, there's time between opportunity. And then your head gets to play with you and say, maybe you ain't so good. So what I love about this is it helps with the loneliness. Loneliness is a human condition that is rampant in America right now. Half of Americans today say they don't have anyone to talk to. It is the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day to your health. It peaks in three different times. It peaks in your 20s, it peaks in your 50s, and it peaks in your 80s. And you might start to see why life cycles sort of happen during that time. And so, getting to your question around the loneliness, So 2014, my wife was diagnosed with melanoma. She battled for 3 years. She died in 2017. Superstar, amazing person. And now I'm accountable for revenue and I'm accountable for 4 kids. And that opportunity was not an opportunity. It was something that was really hard. And after her passing, there were times when I didn't want to get out of bed. There were times where the loneliness of not only losing my kid's mother, but I also lost my business partner and the love of my life. So that opportunity to try and overcome that is really hard. So hard. So how do you cure that? First of all, you don't. Grief's a bitch. Sorry, can I say bitch here?
Yep. Just don't look at me because I'm not quite crying.
Do that in editing, buddy.
You're good.
Yeah, it's awful. And I know some of you in the room have been through it too. But what I did was, probably 12 months later, I was down in Florida moving my parents to up north to be in a facility. And we were going through a bunch of mementos. And I'm sitting in their garage, and it felt like a gut punch. Like I had just put all her stuff away and cleaned out all of her stuff, and now I'm doing this for my parents. And it just was like, ugh. And I walked around the corner and my mom was there and she looked at me and I'm in Florida where I'm wearing shorts and a shirt. And she said, "You're fat."
And then I started my next company.
Oh, that's awesome. So last year, I started this thing. I called it Take Two. You can tell I like double meanings of things. The sequel, because my life has forever changed. And then I also, I tried to simplify it. And so I said, okay, I want to meet with these key people. And I put them in three different categories. Some of you met with me, so thank you for doing this. People that I could find deals with. The second group were people that made me laugh. And the third group was people who inspire me. And so I met with them, and then I had another little thing where I had to, if someone reached out to me, I had to meet with them. I had to say yes, and I had to do this for 90 days to shake me out of the feeling stuck and the loneliness. And so the two questions were really hard. One was, how are you? And the other one was, how can I help you? And I think that, those, first of all, what I heard was incredible. A ton of fear, a ton of loneliness. There were people, because I'm 50, men especially, said, I don't have any friends. Can we do this again? And so it was really invigorating for me. And it was also really helpful for the other person, because this thing is rampant in America. And this, what you do here, is an incredible testament and a wonderful help for all of us in this marketplace, Mickey.
Well, if you've been here before and this is your first time, you could probably tell you're welcome to be here. Like, we've always said the trust nest. We've always said the closers community. This is a place where you can come and you can tell stories like this. Thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure.
I don't know about you, but that is heavy, and I haven't gone through that, nothing like that yet. I will. So most people, maybe me, would have stayed in bed and still be in bed like that guy over there, or quit or whatever. Where did you find this motivation? The motivation, I think, I'm really curious about the strength to pick it up and not just get back at it to launch something, because I don't want to do this, but I'm guessing with the exits you've had, you probably could have went and sold flip-flops in Key West, right? I mean, what is behind all this? This is just incredible, I think.
Yeah. So it is interesting you talk about this motivation thing. The first thing around, I'm all about solving problems. Like, again, the connection for sales for me is not deals and money. It's actually about, you have a problem, I can help solve it. And so that's the anchor for me when it comes time for game day. I will walk away from opportunities because they're not a fit. And I encourage you all to do that, because if you've ever sold something that sucks, your life sucks.
Amen.
So at its foundation, that's the way that I sell. It's around a relationship. It's around fit. It's around solving problems. The other piece, too, is I am in a different place in my life right now where my faith is so helpful. For those that have it, it's awesome. For those of you that don't, check it out. It's pretty good.
it happens to work. It's
it fun. Works. Yep. And then the last thing is, I got these four superstars that I'm accountable for more than ever. I was before, don't get me wrong, but Two are in college, my girls, and two are at home. And they're very helpful at motivating me, too. I got a really quick story about one of them. So it was Christmas time, and I have a 12-year-old. He's my youngest. We go from 20 to 12 in the four. And he said, Dad, I was looking under the Christmas tree and noticed there weren't any presents for me. Did you forget? That's my accountability. I got guys. Like, we got to make sure we're doing that. So I would say solving problems, and secondly, my faith really helps me get up.
Awesome. So we got the red card. That means we got one question left. Something that I know you're very passionate about. I mean, you've built a company. You've hired people. You know, you've trained salespeople. When you were at a company building, you do it in your free time. I know that because some of your friends and peoples are sitting right in front of you. I'm here because of you and the inspiration that you've passed on to me. So if you were, how many new salespeople do we have here? Okay. So people new to sales, if you were sitting in her, if you were sitting in that booth right there, yeah, and you were just getting up, just getting going, what would you tell yourself?
Never eat alone.
Said never eat alone?
Never eat alone. Get out and meet people. I think the relationships that you make today will benefit in the future, whether it's business or not, and enjoy that process. I would also say the second thing is you're good enough. Your doubts that will come out are not real. You are good enough. And you will be able to accomplish these things. It's just in a different timeline than you expect.
Amen. Hey, let's put our hands together for Dave Dickey. That was incredible.
So what do we think? What'd you learn? Well, if you like that, check out coffeeclosers.com for upcoming episodes, recordings, and more. And don't forget to check out our sponsors. Each one has been hand-selected. They are best in class. Until next time. See you at the next Coffee and Closers. Cheers.
Say live, come on, live. Live a life we love. Gotta live, I say live. Live a life we love.